This week in the markets, U.S. equities ran to a 7-week record high. Well, welcome back to Gold Seek Radio, everyone. Your host, Chris Waltzek. It's a pleasure to be with you on this season 14, episode 682 episode. Well, global central bankers are beginning to echo the same dovish mantra, suggesting a rate hike cycle could be in the cards to help prop up the already frothy asset markets. So will policymakers have the ammunition to save the housing and shares markets and avoid another 2008 Great Recession? My first guest, Gerald Celente from the Trends Research Institute, thinks so. Policymakers will do whatever it takes to make sure the status quo is maintained, and this is good news for the precious metals. Then Peter Schiff, head of Schiff Gold, a permagold bull, it seems like, agrees with Gerald Celente. He thinks the end of the rate hike cycle is the big news, and he expects at least a 50% jump in gold price, sending it back to the all-time record high, at least in U.S. dollars, sending the leveraged gold shares into the stratosphere. And we'd like for you to call into our Q&A hotline, 641-715-3900, mailbox number 514049. We'd like to field your questions and comments. You can call 24 hours, 7 days a week, 641-715-3900, extension number 514049. Robert Ian wraps up the show with another must-hear editorial. GoldSeek.com radio begins now with a market weather recap. Partly cloudy skies were seen over the precious metals sector this week as investors chose the sidelines in most markets on growing uncertainty over next week's potential U.S. government shutdown and slowing global economic activity. At Friday's closing bell, the precious metals indexes were all near break-even, with the yellow metal off just 4 at 1318. Silver finished down just 0.5% at 1581, while the XAU precious metal shares finished at 75.75. Black gold gave back 5%, finishing at 52.72 a barrel, but still well off the $42 lows posted just a few weeks earlier. And palladium was off just $6 at $13.13 after hitting an all-time high of $14.34 and reaching parity with the yellow metal recently. The top story driving the metals sector higher this week: in 1 week from today's show, the U.S. government could shut down again, with temporary funding expiring on February 15th. Markets are not terribly fond of uncertainty, so investors are sitting on their hands for the time being. Plus, news from the European Union of intensifying concerns on the Brexit drama is nearly certain to boost demand for safe haven investments, in particular following the Lunar New Year celebrations in China, where markets will reopen on Monday. The European Central Bank, Bank of England, U.S. Fed, and even the Reserve Bank of Aussie land are now obviously taking a dovish stance on rates, given the potential for sluggish global conditions now, really across the board and across the world. Bottom line on precious metals: reiterating last week's message from Mad Money's Jim Cramer, he's a big believer in gold. He thinks, you know, we're headed to 1400 or 1500. My guests this week certainly agree. We share a favorite gold company, Barrick. It also flew higher this week, blasting through all resistance now, up about 15% in the last 3 weeks. Moving on to the Wall Street report, sunny skies persisted over the New York Stock Exchange now for the 7th consecutive winning week, as investors anticipate lower rates from economic policymakers to prop up the closely watched U.S. shares and housing markets. By Friday's closing bell on Wall Street, the Dow was up 42 points, ending at 25,106. Meanwhile, the S&P 500 picked up 1 point at 2707, and the Nasdaq gained 34 points at 7298. In related news, a key story on investors' minds remains the trade, tariff, and trade war between the U.S. and its largest trading partner, China. This week, the U.S. President Donald Trump noted on Thursday he had no plans to meet with the Chinese President Xi Jinping before a March 1 deadline set by the two countries. Clearly, the big sell-off last year was directly correlated to the rate hikes and the trade war, so these two stories will be key for us to watch, especially if we're expecting U.S. shares to hit record highs later this year. In related news, our favorite stock salesman, CNBC's Jim Cramer, says he would buy shares of Cisco if stocks continued their sell-off and the shares from a technical position surely looks good. He also likes Chipotle, Mexican Grill, and another big pick, John Deere. I like this one as well. Ticker DE. He expects big sales to start up in the European Union for Deere and Company. Your shares, bottom line. Well, the Greed to Fear Index suggests that herd is getting a little greedy from a technical position. Shares are currently at key resistance, so a pause is likely. For the time being, I remain in the neutral camp, cautiously optimistic for the rest of the year, and I'd like to see the shares have a nice steady reaction here and head back to new highs. Coming up after the break, more new highs again and more cryptic, eerie music from the cosmos.
Blockchain revolution is transforming the global arena, disrupting every industry in its path. Goldseek.com is excited to introduce an off-the-chain opportunity in digital gold and silver from our friends at Atmex and Sprott.com. One Gold holds physical gold and silver metals at the Royal Canadian Mint, the first online marketplace to offer secure and convenient buying, selling, and redemption of digital precious metals. One Gold uses Vault Chain, a secure, immutable blockchain ledger developed by Tradewind Markets, the leading innovator in digital precious metals distributed ledger and blockchain technology. Vault Chain. Gold and silver are 100% redeemable through One Gold for physical precious metals delivered to customers' doors in any size at competitive prices and low transaction storage costs. As a special offer and for a limited time only, One Gold is offering gold and silver at spot price with no additional premiums. OneGold.com is secure and accessible 24/7 on any device, offering convenient purchases and sales of precious metals. Easy recurring transactions make passive saving and gold dollar cost averaging as easy as a single mouse click. Vault Chain offers the best tier pricing on Atmex products, setting the industry standard as a fully backed physical asset with easy redemption in coins, rounds, or bars, offering clients peace of mind and full transparency. Don't get left behind. Remember to bookmark OneGold.com for the safest and most convenient digital precious metals today. Remember, OneGold.
Goldseek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.
It's a pleasure to welcome back Peter Schiff today from his home office.
Hey, Chris, how's it going?
Good, how are you? And I know you're watching the Fed. What's going on with the Fed?
Well, the Fed is basically doing exactly what I've been saying, you know, it would do on your program, on my podcast, ever since before the Fed raised rates for the first time, when they were talking about raising rates or normalizing rates, I said at the time that if they ever hike rates in an attempt to normalize them, they would never be able to complete the process, that somewhere along the way, the Fed would have to pause and then ultimately go back to zero, because when you inflate a gigantic bubble, and you build an economy that's built for 0% interest rates and quantitative easing, you can't take that stuff away any more than you can take the drugs away from an addict and expect the addict to stay high without the drug. So I knew this day would come, and in fact, because Trump was elected, it probably came a couple of years later than it might otherwise have arrived, but the Fed basically did it, did what I said they were going to do for the exact reason I said they would do it. I said that, you know, the stock market would eventually drop 20%, become a bear market, and the Fed would have to come to the rescue of the market by, you know, cutting rates. But obviously before they can cut rates, they have to stop hiking them, and that was the first part of my forecast. But I don't think that the mere cessation of future rate hikes is enough. I think this is still a bear market. I think we're still headed for recession. And so the Fed is going to have to do more if it wants to try to blow the air back in the bubble, which is why I think we're going back to zero and we're going back to QE. And when that happens, you know, the bottom's going to drop out of the dollar.
Okay, so we've cut back not quite $1 trillion on the Fed's balance sheet. So you're expecting them to start buying up toxic debt and reverse the rate cycle here?
Well, in fact, the Fed said that. The Fed just put quantitative easing back on the table. You know, a few months ago, they said that quantitative tightening was on autopilot. And no matter what happened in the economy, they were going to continue to shrink their balance sheet. Well, that scared the stock market, which is one of the reasons it fell so rapidly. And now the Fed changed its mind and said, well, of course, if we have an economic downturn, we want to use all the tools at our disposal. And they're talking about quantitative easing their balance sheet. So as soon as the economy slips, the Fed has already said that they're going right back to the QE well, and so the balance sheet's going to explode to new highs.
Okay, so give us the implications for gold and silver. We've certainly seen some big moves in palladium. Will we see something like that in the other precious metals?
Yeah, well, I mean, gold's at an 8-month high earlier this morning. It's been creeping higher, you know, back above 1300, above 1320. But we haven't really broken out yet. I mean, I'm not sure where the breakout level is going to be, maybe sometime somewhere between 1350 and 1400. But I think when the market rolls over and starts going down again, that could really be the catalyst to lift gold, because then the markets will start anticipating rate cuts and more QE. I mean, right now they just think the Fed's on hold. But even being on hold is very bullish for gold when everybody believed the Fed was going to keep hiking just, you know, a few weeks or a month ago. And that was a big, you know, headwind for gold, was the idea that the Fed was going to keep tightening, that they were going to keep shrinking the balance sheet, that was going to support the dollar, it was going to hurt gold. But that whole story is now being rewritten, and it's much more bullish for gold. And as more people figure out just, you know, how badly this story is going to end, at some point gold's just going to take off.
Okay, your former colleague Michael Pinto uses regression analysis as well as multivariate models to get a good idea on where he sees the market and the economy headed. Do you synthesize your thoughts using this type of analysis?
I'm not familiar with those models, and I have no idea whether they actually work, so I can't really comment on them. But you don't need models to understand the effects of monetary policy on the value of the dollar, on how many dollars you need to buy an ounce of gold. I mean, it's clear to me, I don't need a model to know that the Fed has inflated a gigantic bubble, or to know that that bubble has basically popped and the air is coming out. I mean, that's exactly why the Fed did what I've been saying they were going to do since before they hit the first rate hike. I mean, and the same thing when it comes to the quantitative tightening. But there's just no way to know the exact timing of when other people wake up to the reality that should have been obvious to them all along. But what tends to happen is people act in a herd. And so everybody is going to finally come to that right conclusion at the same time. And then, of course, you get violent reactions in the markets and the currency markets and the gold market. But, you know, I don't know that there's a model that can predict exactly when that's going to happen. My strategy is just to make sure I'm prepared so that whenever it happens, you know, I'm ready for it and I can profit from it.
We're seeing a flattening yield curve. Are you watching this theme, and any comments?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think the yield curve is going to completely invert, you know, when you come to the total long end of 30-year, because I think inflation is going to push up, yields in the long run, regardless of what happens. But, yeah, I mean, short-term rates have now come down because the Fed is no longer hiking rates. And so I think you've seen the yield curve compress a little bit. But I don't think we're going to invert the 30-year beneath the 10-year or anything like that. I think that inflation premiums are going to be built into the longer end of the spectrum, even if the Fed comes back with more quantitative easing. In fact, especially if the Fed comes back with more quantitative easing, because the only way they can finance that is by printing a lot of money. Inflation is inflation.
So you're lightening up on U.S. shares. What about bonds, treasuries, short and long yield?
I'm not really making any changes to my strategy. I mean, I'm invested for the scenario that I've been forecasting for a number of years. And, you know, it's taken longer to kind of play out based on things that have happened along the way that enabled us to kick the can down the road. But because we have had the ability to do that, the problems have just gotten that much bigger. So now the collapse is going to be that much larger too, because, you know, you have a bigger bubble, so there's more air that's going to come out of it. So the strategies that I've been advising for years, I mean, those are the strategies that people need to adopt now. I mean, if they didn't do it in the past, I mean, they have a window of opportunity still open to do it now. People have no idea just how high gold stocks are going to go. And, you know, I've been holding on to gold stocks for years. Obviously, with the benefit of hindsight, I'd have been better off not owning them and just buying them now. But, you know, I'm glad I own them. But if you don't own them, you should certainly take advantage of this opportunity while you can, because at some point, they're going to take off. And I don't think that point is that far off into the future. I can't give you an exact date, obviously, but I'd rather own them, you know, and take a chance that maybe they go lower than don't own them. Own them and take a bigger chance that they go a lot higher without me. And again, you know, if you don't, you know which ones to buy, you don't have to figure it out. Just buy my gold fund. You know, Euro Pacific Capital Gold Fund, EPGFX. Morningstar gives it 5 stars. It's managed by Adrian Day. I don't even manage it myself. I was smart enough to hire somebody else to do that for me, who's an expert in this particular sector where you really need to know what you're doing. Especially if you're in the junior miners, to know which ones to buy and which ones to avoid. So Adrian's been doing that for over 30 years. So yeah, people check out our track record and, you know, get a prospectus. But I mean, I think people should be buying that whole fund. In fact, we even have a no load version for people who don't like paying a load. And there's an advisor class. I mean, you can buy them, you know, I think at Schwab and Fidelity. Of course, you can open up an account with me at Euro Pacific Capital and buy them. But you know, you can buy my funds on a number of platforms that are out there, but Euro Pacific Gold Fund, EPGFX, is the ticker symbol.
The U.S. dollar story, is that the primary theme behind your gold market thesis?
Well, it's certainly one of them. A weak dollar is part of the reason that the price of gold is going to go up. I mean, it's not the only reason, because a lot of other currencies are going to be weak too. Other central banks are creating inflation. But, you know, the dollar is at the epicenter of the global financial system as the premier reserve currency. So much has been based on the dollar. And, in fact, the entire U.S. economy, the American standard of living, is a function of the dollar being accepted as the reserve currency. We're able to live beyond our means because of the dollar. We don't have to produce, but we can consume. We don't have to save, but we can borrow. All of that is a privilege that we have based on the dollar's unique role in the global economy. When that comes to an end, so too will the American way of life. I mean, Americans are in for a rude awakening when we have to live within our means again. Our means have diminished dramatically over time. We just do not have the productive capacity, the industrial base that we once had. And so we're going to see a precipitous decline in our standard of living. And a lot of that is going to be brought about by a weakening dollar. But as the dollar weakens, not only will you need more dollars to buy gold, but I think gold will be remonetized. A lot of people think, well, what's going to replace the dollar as a reserve currency? Nothing. You know, before it was the dollar, it was gold. So we don't have to go from the dollar to the euro or the dollar to the yen. We just go from the dollar back to where we started, which is gold. And if you know your history, the reason the dollar was initially accepted as the world's reserve currency was because it was thought to be as good as gold. Because not only was the U.S. dollar backed by the world's largest gold reserve that we had in the United States, but the U.S. dollar was convertible into gold on demand by holders. So the dollar was really nothing more than the American government's IOU for gold. And, of course, we defaulted on that promise in 1971, but the dollar still functioned as the reserve currency despite the fact it was no longer backed by gold, but at a lower rate. I mean, they marked down the value of the dollar considerably, and the price of gold went from $35 an ounce up to $800 back then. Then it had a bear market for a while, and here we sit now about $1,300. But the dollar has lost a lot of its value ever since we went off the gold standard, but it hasn't lost all of its value. But the rest of the value could go in this next monetary crisis that I see coming, or the dollar crisis. But I think as the world remonetizes gold, as gold resumes its place as a reserve asset, the primary reserve asset for central banks around the world. And of course, most central banks still own some gold. They just don't own enough. And there are some central banks that don't own any. And so all these central banks are going to have to load up on gold. Well, what's the price going to have to be in order to make this possible? It's obviously going to have to be a lot higher because there's not a lot of gold in the world. But there's not a lot of gold. So gold's going to be remonetized, but in order to do it, the price has to be a lot higher.
So even though the BRICS nations are starting to stockpile gold, including the People's Bank of China, not to mention Russia's central bank, silver as well now in Russia, you feel that it's just not enough. It will be a race to the bottom on all the key six currencies?
I don't think the Bundesbank will allow the ECB to destroy the euro. You know, understand inflation. They had an experience in Germany. The mark was a strong currency, and they don't want the euro to go the way, you know, of the Reichsmark. They want it to be strong like Deutschmark. So I think that the Europeans are more likely to salvage their currency. China certainly is gearing up, I think, to, you know, make sure that the, yuan is backed by gold and ends up being a premier currency. I doubt the Japanese, with all the domestic savings that they have, they want to wipe it all out. All the Japanese debt is held by the Japanese. So, I don't see why the Japanese would want to destroy the yen, but there are a lot of reasons why the United States wants to destroy the dollar. But even if it doesn't want to, it's going to happen because there's no alternative. I mean, otherwise we have to default on all the bonds, a lot of other promises that have been made by American politicians, both current and prior, with respect to people expecting pensions and Social Security and Medicare and now Obamacare. You know, none of these commitments can be made. Of course, the politicians can pretend to make them with a printing press, but then they just pay everybody with money that has little or no value, which doesn't do very much good for anybody, but it allows the politicians to pretend that they kept their promise.
Do you see this devaluation unfolding, you know, like a lightning bolt, you know, similar to the rehypothecation we saw in Europe, a couple of those, Cyprus, in Poland as well? Could this be, wake up and find you have the same currency amount in all your accounts, but they're worth half as much?
It's going to be like, you know, maybe a lightning bolt at some point. People will piece this together. As I said, I think it's going to be when the Fed goes back to QE and back to zero, and then people finally figure out that this is a permanent monetization of debt, that America is, you know, just about, you know, a gigantic banana republic, except without the bananas. When people realize this, that's it. I mean, what's been supporting the dollar is the false belief that everything worked. That the Fed, you know, these guys were geniuses, that they saved the economy, and now they could just undo the stimulus and everything was going to be fine. When they realized that it's not fine, that the Fed didn't, rebuild the economy, they reflated the bubble. In fact, the bubble now is bigger than the one that popped in 08, which was bigger than the one that popped in 2000. This is the biggest bubble yet, and there's no way to replace it with a bigger one. This is the mother of all bubbles, and this is the end of it. And if the Fed even tries, which they will, to reflate another one, it'll just destroy the dollar. We'll overdose on stimulus because the amount of money they would have to print in order to try would destroy the dollar. Now, I didn't think that they would be able to reflate a bigger bubble than the 08 bubble, but I was wrong there. I thought they would try but fail. They tried and succeeded. That's why they were able to kick the can down the road, but at great cost to the future of America, because now we're dealing with a much bigger bubble. We've dug ourselves into a far deeper hole than the one we should have crawled out of in 08, but instead, you know, we took the easy way out and, you know, we dug it ourselves into a deeper hole.
Tell people more about Shift Gold and what they can find if they navigate their browsers to your site.
Yeah, well, you know, if you want to buy some physical precious metals, which I recommend that everybody do, number one, stay away from these so-called collectibles or numismatics, which are just an excuse for some gold firms to rip off their clients with 30, 40, 50, 100% markups. When you're buying gold, you want to buy as much gold as you can for the lowest possible markup. And that's why you want to buy these bullion coins and bars, and that's really what we sell at Shift Gold. That's my company, you know, just my name, SCHIFF Gold. So check us out. You go to our website, or give us a call, talk to a rep, and, you know, get yourself some physical precious metals. Again, if you want to, you know, really profit from the rise in gold. I mean, buying physical gold is to preserve your wealth. If you want to grow your wealth in the gold sector, get into the gold mining stocks. Obviously, there's risk there. You can lose wealth too, but I think that there's a great opportunity to make a tremendous amount of money in these mining stocks that I think are ridiculously cheap. I mean, if the price of gold goes up by 50%, you can see a fivefold or more increase in the value of gold stocks. And that's without leverage. You don't have to borrow any money. You just own those stocks. But their earnings are highly leveraged to the price of gold. And, of course, if investors get bullish on the future price of gold, they'll express that bullishness by buying gold stocks. So my gold fund is if you want to really try to, get rich off of this gold boom, but buy physical gold just to prevent yourself from going broke. But unfortunately, most Americans have no gold at all, and they are going to go broke. Even if they hold on to their dollars won't hold on to their purchasing power. So there's going to be a lot of people that have a lot of money but find themselves broke anyway because they can't buy much gold because they have the wrong kind of money. They have fiat money instead of real money.
Is this your Puerto Rico office or New England?
I'm at home right now, yes. This is my home office. I have an actual office here in Puerto Rico, too, but I'm not there. I'm at home right now. I got some stuff I got to do today, so I didn't feel like going in. All right, and it is nice and warm out. It's like 80 degrees and sunny. Those of you who are in the polar vortex.
Is that an invite for Goldseek folks to stay at Peter Schiff's?
Check it out. And, super high taxes are coming, if I'm right, and they're going to be raising everybody's taxes but the people who live in Puerto Rico, right? Not only do we have great weather, you keep your American passport, and the only taxes I pay down here are 4% tax on my earned income through my business, and that's pretty much it. I pay zero taxes on capital gains and dividends, but I still got a U.S. passport.
They're calling it Crypto Rico now. Thank you, Peter Schiff.
Well, there's a few crypto guys here, but that's not the bulk of the people that have come down here. But there are a few cryptocurrency guys that, all right, take care.
The blockchain revolution is transforming the global arena, disrupting every industry in its path. Goldseek.com is excited to introduce an off-the-chain opportunity in digital gold and silver from our friends at Atmex and Sprott.com. OneGold holds physical gold and silver metals at the Royal Canadian Mint, the first online marketplace to offer secure and convenient buying, selling, and redemption of digital precious metals. OneGold uses Vault Chain, a secure, immutable blockchain ledger developed by Tradewind Markets, the leading innovator in digital precious metals distributed ledger and blockchain technology. Vault Chain. Gold and silver are 100% redeemable through OneGold for physical precious metals delivered to customers' doors in any size at competitive prices and low transaction storage costs. As a special offer and for a limited time only, OneGold is offering gold and silver at spot price with no additional premium. OneGold.com is secure and accessible 24/7 on any device, offering convenient purchases and sales of precious metals. Easy recurring transactions make passive saving and gold dollar cost averaging as easy as a single mouse click. Vault Chain offers the best tier pricing on AppMex products, setting the industry standard as a fully backed physical asset with easy redemption in coins, rounds, or bars, offering clients peace of mind and full transparency. Don't get left behind. Remember to bookmark OneGold.com for the safest and most convenient digital precious metals today. Remember, OneGold.
Goldseek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.
So much going on in the Trends Journal. And, of course, topping that, a little bit of trouble in Venezuela. What's going on, Gerald Salenta?
Well, if you go to our November Trends Journal, which you get, we had called this. We saw it coming. We called it the Triangle of Death. We saw that Brazil, Colombia, and Argentina were going after Venezuela, and with the United States behind it. And we said there'd be a coup attempt. And here we are. And just with Iraq and Libya and other places, it's not about their broccoli crop. It's about oil. And Venezuela is sitting on the world's largest oil reserves. And we heard our national security advisor, James Bolton, and it's all in our Trends Journal, the direct quotes, of how he said that they want to put in American oil companies into Venezuela, and that would be a benefit to the American people. So it's another coup attempt, and with a long history of one failure after another. Again, we could go to Iraq, take a trip to Libya. How about Syria? Isn't Yemen wonderful? Hey, how about Afghanistan? Hey, Honduras is doing great, isn't it? What about one after another? So this is going to be, if the people of America are complaining about a migrant crisis now, you haven't seen anything. Because already some 3 million people have left Venezuela in the last few years because of the economic conditions. War breaks out there, whew, it'll go regional. It won't stay within the Venezuelan borders. You'll have a refugee crisis the likes of which no one could ever imagine.
You know, the U.S. military is talking about some activity there. Do you see that escalating the situation?
Well, if we have sick people in charge, like you have Elliot Abrams, they brought him in to head this under the BS line that they're bringing democracy. This is a guy that's a convicted war criminal for the actions he took during the Iran-Contra affair. And it's, you know, he was pardoned, you know, pardoned. But he's a war criminal. And in support of the vicious groups that were slaughtering people throughout many regions of Central America. So when you look at the people that are in charge of this, Pompeo, Bolton, and Elliot Abrams being this, the head of this, you can see where it's going.
Before we move on, could you tell us a little bit more about the image of you and Ronald Reagan in the background there?
That one over to the right, yeah. I was 30 years old. I was the number two guy running a major trade association at the time. And he was our keynote speaker. And this is 2 days before he's announcing that he's running against Gerald Ford. And so I was with him for about an hour and a half. In those days, it was very different. It was in Chicago, and the convention was at McCormick Place. And I picked him up at the Chicago Hilton. It wasn't like today when you had, you know, private drivers. This is, you know, 76. And, you know, I went up and picked him up, him and Mike Deaver. I stayed in touch with Mike Deaver afterwards. And get in the car, and got in a cab. That was it, the three of us in the back of a cab. So everything was different in those days. And I had a brunch for him and our board of directors. And so I was with him for quite a while. I learned a lot. Actually, I used to do a lot of public speaking back in the day, do trend forecasts for trade associations and businesses from American Express to Citigroup, you name it, Nestle, you know, one after another. And I learned how to do speaking from him. And he used to use index cards. It's a funny story, actually. I used to have stage fright in those days. And here we are in McCormick Place. We had like 2,000 people. All the press is there because everyone was expecting that he was going to announce it soon. I said to myself, if I could walk out to the middle of the stage, he's backstage now. If I could walk out to the middle of the stage, I'll break myself a stage fright. So I did. I walked out. And of course, everybody there knew me because I was the number two guy. And they all start applauding. They said, I'm not Ronald Reagan, but he's backstage and he'll be out any moment. And that's how I broke myself a stage fright. And when I went backstage, my boss mad at me because he was supposed to announce the CEO of our company. And the CEO was supposed to announce Reagan. And I just took all the steam out of it. But anyway, that's part. And here's another photo that's very interesting. This is the book depository. And that's me and John Connolly and his wife, Nellie. And of course, John Connolly's the guy that took the bullet in the back sitting in front of John F. Kennedy. And he was governor. This is their first time back. This is 1992. Their first time back since the assassination. And we're parked out in front of the book depository. That's the side that you see. In a limousine with Pat Cadell, a guy named John J. Hooker, may he rest in peace, and Connolly and his wife, Nellie, and another woman, Rama Fox, who was Larry King's girlfriend at the time. And Hooker got Perot on, and that's how I got Connolly wanted to meet me, because in my book Trend Tracking that I wrote in 1989, I'd forecast a new third party in the 92 elections and mentioned Ross Perot as being the maverick candidate. So that's why Connolly wanted to meet me. But anyway, it was Hooker that got Perot on Larry King, and Larry, that's how the whole thing started. So that's why his girlfriend was there at the time. But anyway, we're parked out in front of the book depository, and I'm sitting across from Connolly in the limousine, and he's telling the story of what happened that day. And it was quite an experience. I stayed in contact with him until February of 1993, and then he died in April.
Great story, and I've got to ask about the drum set.
Well, we have conferences, and we used to bring them over to the Mohegan over here. That's the place we're at now. So we'd have a band here, a little quartet, entertaining the people. I don't play them, but I do boogie.
Quick question on the markets. We've seen a lot of volatility, of course, in U.S. shares. What's going on there?
It's simple. It's interest rates. We're going to see, go back to September. When we called an economic 9/11, it was because the Fed chair had indicated they were going to raise rates one more time last year being 2018, and 3 to 4 more times in 2019. Then they backtracked on January 4th, and again later in the month on January, saying they were going to be patient. Because of the equity market losing, they were having their worst December since the Great Depression. So he made it very clear it was about the equity markets. So what we're going to see is more money being shoveled into the system. That's why you're seeing gold prices stay above 1300. And again, I've been on your show a long time. They have to break over 1385 to hit the point, the breakout point. And the breakout point is 1,450. I've been saying that, but it's probably going on 6 years now. And it hasn't made that. Now we're going to see more cheap money coming in. We are forecasting that the Federal Reserve will lower interest rates this year. How many times, we don't know yet, because there's a global slowdown going on. Auto sales around the world stink, particularly out of China. They had their worst year last year. The first year they lost auto sales since the 1990s. Their GDP level is at 1990s level. You're looking at Europe. Italy's back in a recession. Euro growth this year is expected to be maybe 1.5% at best. You're seeing countries like Germany teetering on recession. So what you're going to see is more cheap money going into the global system to give the corporate and market addicted heroin freaks more monetary methadone so that they can keep their game going and keep the bull running. And you're also going to see more quantitative easing. What that means is more cheap money flowing into the system. Jerome Powell, the Federal Reserve Chair, in his own words, say they're cautious, they're being patient because of what's going on in the markets. That's their concern. Not we the people. And the markets, you saw the study that came out, of all the stocks owned in the United States, the household stocks, 1% owns 50% of them. So Jerome Powell cares about that 1%, and they will do anything to keep the billionaires, and maybe even move into trillionaires before we finish our lives, because that's where the concentration of wealth is going.
Okay, Gerald Celente, you know, you're talking about the 1%, the Fed chairs. They don't pump the gas at the pumps. Their chauffeurs do this. If they did, we jokingly say here, they'd have their finger on the pulse of the folks. Give us an idea about this QE. We're in the middle of wrapping up a quantitative tightening cycle. You're talking about things, you know, they're going to be adding to their balance sheet, toxic debt. This is a big sea change event. We haven't heard this in their rhetoric yet.
No, and you won't hear it, because what are we looking at? $250 trillion worth of global debt. You're looking at China now, estimated $40 trillion of debt. The debt levels doubled since the panic of 08, more than that, more than doubled. And you look at also what's going on with Japan. They're in a recession. They're nearing a recession. They're risking recession. That's after having negative interest rates and 10-year bond yields that are negative. I mean, who would buy a negative bond yield? 10 years, you're going to get back less money than you're paying. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. So the QT is over. It's QE. And you're going to, well, you've already heard from Mario Draghi, the head of the European Central Bank, saying that they were thinking of plans to re-stimulate the economy through quantitative easing. This is after dumping basically $3 trillion into it and no results. It's only enriching the rich. That's all it's about. Take a look at home sales. Look at the lousy numbers coming out. December's terrible. Looking at home sales in Southern California off like 20%. So what are they going to do? New mortgage applications, they have to lower interest rates. You cannot take a 5% 30-year mortgage. So they're going to bring them back. They're going to get them down. And we're going to see cuts going back to, we believe, as this thing goes down, you will see mortgage rates for like 2.8% before this thing collapses.
Gold is at least a go-to asset, given the scenario you've given us.
That's it. You hit it. Because that's what you, that's why, that is why the central banks bought more gold last year than in a half a century. Because they know what's going on. That's a fact. They bought more gold last year than they have in a half century. They see the end is near, and that's why we're saying, look at gold prices now. And you know, I mean, the facts are there. I've been on your show a lot of years. I said that the bottom of gold last year in 2018 was $1,200 an ounce. It got to $1,185. $15 off. So we nailed it. And we said it has to break over 1385, which it hasn't done, to go to the next level, which is to break over 1450. You're going to see more and more people investing in gold as their currencies devalue because of all of the cheap money they're pumping into the system. The only reason the dollar is strong and the other ones are so weak is because of the crises they have in trying to stimulate their failing economies by pumping more money into it. So the yuan, the Chinese yuan, is going to be under pressure. The euro is going to be under pressure. The yen will be under pressure. The dollar will do better, but it's still not going to be worth the digital paper it's not printed on.
Okay, the People's Bank of China, the Moscow Bank, they agree with you. They're loading up, they're increasing their stockpiles on gold, the yellow metal. Why are the non-BRICS nations not getting on board? Are they just ignoring this? Do they think their reserves are high enough? Or is there something more nefarious going on?
The non-BRICS don't try to make it as popular because they want you to believe in their, again, their worthless digital currencies. So that's why they don't talk about it. And here we are. Hey, this is America. Check it out, man. Are not allowed to look into the vaults in Kentucky to see where our gold is or how much is there. You're not allowed to look at it. How dare you ask? We may have nothing there because the whole thing is a sham. Look at the value of the dollar since they created the Federal Reserve. Since 1913, it's down, what, 97%? It's backed by nothing. They will not allow we the people to see what's there. And even if they allowed us, who knows if it's even real if we demanded to see it.
You know, it's ironic. My late father actually guarded Fort Knox in Kentucky for a brief period during his military stint. So you seem to indicate this is a shell game. I mean, this is a three-card Monty. I mean, they don't want us to know maybe until it's much too late that it's time to prepare. Is that fair enough?
They're never going to tell us. They're going to say it's never too late. Didn't save us from depression. All you do is bail out the big guys. 78% of the American people living paycheck to paycheck. The money since 2009, the numbers are there. When 95% of it went to the 1%. According to the Tax Policy Center, it went to the 1%, got 82% of it. This isn't helping us. It's only enriching the rich. They're never going to tell us. They'll keep telling you to keep lying to us. They're pros at it. We should have no central bank. That was a major campaign issue throughout the 1800s. How dare private bankers in control of our money? You know, we just had Christmas. We're in February, not too long ago. The Prince of Peace, right?
Just a different millennia. Before we wrap up, there's a lot of material in these pages.
Yeah, I mean, there's no magazine like it in the world. And it's only, you know, $129 a year for a monthly. Plus trend alerts each week. Trends in the news broadcasts. You know, we keep you on top of the news and ahead of the trends. It's the only magazine where you read history before it happens. There's no other trend magazine in the world. So if you want to prepare, prevail, and prosper for the times ahead, we may want to consider going to trendsjournal.com and read history before it happens.
Can you tell us, though, the top maybe one or two themes or trends you see?
Yeah, it's anything from cryptocurrencies to aging boomers to where the cannabis trend is going. And again, we were the first major magazine coming saying this is going to be big business. And so we keep breaking it down. Where is it going? Here are the ones. So we give not only trend analysis and trend forecasts, but strategic planning considerations that people might want to take. So you name it, we talk about it, from 5G, the new waves of radio frequency radiation that's going to destroy a good part of us and the planet, to again, to talking about geopolitics, economics.
Gerald Solente, can we shift gears back to U.S. shares? I know a lot of listeners would like your thoughts on whether or not we're going to hit new highs in the S&P 500 or if we've seen the top.
No, I don't think we've seen a top. I think they're going to keep doing everything they can to keep it going for a while. So that's, and again, we said it was going to go down into correction territory when, again, it's interest rates. That's all it is. They're going to do everything they can to lower interest rates to juice the markets. The markets have peaked. They hit their highs, but they have more room to go up if they keep funneling more money into the markets. That's the beginning and the end of the story.
I've got to give you a hat tip on that because you're the first of our pundits here in the last 6 months to call that. Frankly, we agree with you here at Goldseek. Gerald Solente, please return.
Take care. Thank you very much.
The blockchain revolution is transforming the global arena, disrupting every industry in its path. Goldseek.com is excited to introduce an off-the-chain opportunity in digital gold and silver from our friends at Atmex and Sprott.com. One Gold holds physical gold and silver metals at the Royal Canadian Mint, the first online marketplace to offer secure and convenient buying, selling, and redemption of digital precious metals. One Gold uses Vault Chain, a secure, immutable blockchain ledger developed by TradeWinds Markets, the leading innovator in digital precious metals, distributed ledger, and blockchain technology. Vault Chain. Gold and silver are 100% redeemable through One Gold for physical precious metals delivered to customers' doors in any size at competitive prices and low transaction storage costs. As a special offer and for a limited time only, One Gold is offering gold and silver at spot price with no additional premiums. OneGold.com is secure and accessible 24/7 on any device, offering convenient purchases and sales of precious metals. Easy recurring transactions make passive saving and gold dollar cost averaging as easy as a single mouse click. Vault Chain offers the best tier pricing on AppMex products, setting the industry standard as a fully backed physical asset with easy redemption in coins, rounds, or bars, offering clients peace of mind and full transparency. Don't get left behind. Remember to bookmark OneGold.com for the safest and most convenient digital precious metals today. Remember, OneGold.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.
This is Robert Ian with GoldSeek.com Radio. You've no doubt heard the accounts across mainstream and social media regarding the inability of Wells Fargo customers to access their accounts for several days. The public portrayal of this situation is focusing on angry customers not knowing how to access their money, with reports about missing paydays, trouble using debit cards, lack of online access, and the inability to deposit checks with the mobile app. The cause of this malfunction is being disclosed as a power shutdown at one of Wells Fargo's main data centers. This apparently caused a cascade of issues that disabled many of the bank's core operations. However, local newspapers like the Twin Cities Pioneer Press, along with CNBC, reported early on that a fire in a data center caused the bank-wide outage. Another version of the story says fire suppression systems were activated following utility work on Thursday, but no actual fire occurred. Then, when the bank's backup plans didn't work as expected, customers started to see problems. A power outage, a fire, utility work gone awry. Dare I ask if any of these cover stories are fake news, incompetent reporting, or something more? Financial systems in banks, on Wall Street, and the servicing providers who act as intermediaries are all supposed to have redundant systems in place so that when one system or node goes down, it is buffered and replaced by corresponding nodes in other locations. Anyone who stores data from their laptop in the cloud knows that providers of such services highlight the various redundant locations where your data is stored, so you are always able to access it regardless of calamity. Are we to believe that a power outage, a fire that now supposedly didn't happen, or utility work gone awry, is the real culprit of this bank-wide system failure? There is something unsettling about this outage. The focus is all wrong. It appears the information most are concerned about reporting is how customers responded. Their reactions and the levels of anger and frustration exhibited, rather than getting to the source of the alleged technical problem and restoring confidence in an electronic financial system comprised of ones and zeros. No doubt this inconvenience will soon be forgotten by most, like the multitude of flash crashes and fat finger theories we have been subjected to at various intervals the past decade. But you shouldn't forget it, whether you bank at Wells Fargo or somewhere else. Reaction, tolerance, and indifference to this situation is being closely watched and commented upon. That should trigger your alarm bells and personal early warning system, so that perhaps you will be better prepared and have more options the next time something like this occurs on a much bigger scale. And until next time, this is Robert Ian with ConquerChange.com. Thanks, Chris.
Okay, Robert, thanks for another excellent installment. Well, that wraps up this week's GoldSeek.com radio episode. For two new big guests, be sure to check out next week's show. Until we talk to you again, have a great week.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice. Thank you.
Yeah.